Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I'm reading to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. As the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, and makes manifest that gospel unto them which they had received, and wherein they stood, and by which also they would be saved, the Apostle says in verses 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians 15, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul's desire in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians is to present the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and ultimately the resurrection of all the dead. Our hope in the resurrection rests upon the truth that Christ has been raised from the dead. The central preaching of the apostles following the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ was his death, his burial, and his resurrection from the dead. When the apostle Peter stood on the day of Pentecost to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said, This Jesus, whom ye have crucified, hath God raised up. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus was made both Lord and Christ. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus ascended to the right hand of God and took his place upon the throne of David, ruling over the kingdom, the church, which he had established. Our hope in Christ is in the resurrection of the dead. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, we believe also that we shall arise from the dead. We shall come forth from the grave of sleep. We shall be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. The hope of the church is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They preached the gospel to all the world. They suffered persecution. Many were killed and slain because of their faith in Christ. That faith stood, and that faith was proclaimed, and that faith was lived because they believed in the resurrection of the dead. But Paul says, If Christ is not risen, then we will not rise from the dead. But now is Christ risen from the dead, verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Christ has been raised, and therefore preaching is the power of God unto salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ is the steadfast rock upon which we build our hope for all eternity. We are not false witnesses of God because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. The great truth of Christianity is that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. This makes Christianity true. This makes Christianity the hope of the world. Jesus Christ has been raised by the power of God, by the Spirit of the Lord God, Romans 8 and verse 11, from the dead. Jesus Christ overcame the Hadean world. Through his resurrection, he has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10. You and I believe in Christ today because of the hope of the resurrection. You and I trust our souls to the well-being of God because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I wish to present unto you the testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is the testimony of God's love for us. God loves us. God loved us in sending Jesus Christ to become the Savior of the world. Humanity was lost in sin. The human heart was separated from God. We had, because of sin, become the enemies of God. We were unholy, impure, and immoral. We lived in obedience to the will of the devil. We walked astray from God. We sought not the will of God, nor were interested in the truth of God. But God continued to love us. God did not cast us aside. God did not destroy us. But rather, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There is a choice that each individual faces in life. It is perishing, being eternally condemned in hell, or having everlasting life. What have you chosen? Which path do we follow? We need to follow the path of God. We need to embrace the gospel, the message of the resurrection, because God has loved us. God so loved the world in such depth, with such amazing, incomprehensible, unfathomable love. God sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, into the world so that whosoever, anyone, everyone who believes in Him would not perish, would not die eternally, would not be lost in the flames of hell, but rather have everlasting life. We can have the blessing of everlasting life because of the love of God. And that love was clearly testified in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Ephesians 2 and verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." God has expressed great love. God is rich in mercy and has extended great love unto humanity through Jesus Christ. In the earlier verses of Ephesians 2, Paul describes our separation from God because of sin, our surrender to the lust of the flesh, our walking astray from God and embracing the will of the devil. Even in that state, when we were that kind of people, God was rich in mercy and expressed great love. The open tomb, or the empty tomb, is the expression of God's love for us. The very truth that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and overcome death is God's expression of great love, rich mercy. 1 John 4, 9-10, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we through Him might live. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The word propitiation involves the penalty, the price that was paid for redemption. God paid the price for our redemption. We paid no price, but rather God gave His only begotten Son so that you and I might live through Him. God gave His only begotten Son, an expression of divine love, the manifestation of God's love, the real demonstration of God's love, so that we might live eternally. Rather than us loving God, God loved us and demonstrated that love, manifested that love, made known that love through Jesus Christ. Jesus was born, Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus was reborn through the resurrection so that we might live eternally. God's expression of love was expressed in the cross, but was dependent upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection of Christ from the dead, the cross would not be able to accomplish the divine purpose of human redemption. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, there would be no propitiation for our sins. We are not saved by a dead Savior, but rather we are saved by a living Savior. We are saved in that expression of love because Jesus Christ overcame death and was raised from the dead. The greatest announcement that the world has ever heard was, "He is not here, but He is risen." Those women came early upon that first day of the week to the grave where Jesus had been buried. But the angels told them, "He is not here. He is risen." And as they looked into that empty tomb and saw no body, no dead corpse, they realized that there was a living Savior. Jesus came to redeem because God loved. No greater expression of love has ever been shown. We have never been loved like God loves us. We will never be loved as God has loved us and does love us. We need to walk in His love. We need to appreciate His love. We need to surrender ourselves to His love. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the great testimony of God's love for us. The resurrection is the testimony of our salvation. We are saved because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Yes, the gift of redemption was secured in the cross, but the cross, the value of the cross, the salvation of the cross, was dependent upon the resurrected life of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:17. "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins." The Apostle Paul declares emphatically, without debate, that if Christ has not been raised, then faith is useless. Our faith in Christ is absolutely empty and without any value whatsoever if Christ has not been raised from the dead. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, we are yet in our sins. The church of God at Corinth had heard the gospel of Christ. Paul says in verses 1 through 4, they had received the gospel of Christ. They were standing in the gospel of Christ. And by that gospel and their standing in the gospel, having received the gospel, was the means of their salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But God's power of salvation is dependent upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are not in sin because Jesus has been raised from the dead. Romans 4, verse 25, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Because of our offenses against God, Christ was delivered up. Christ was sent into the world by a loving, merciful God so that we might be justified. But He was raised for our justification. Because Christ has been raised from the dead, we are made just with God. Justification means that we are just in the sight of God. We have been made right with God. We were alienated from God. We were separated, the enemies of God, because of sin. But Christ was delivered for those offenses which we had committed. And through His resurrection, we were made just. We were justified before God. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Jesus delivered us from the wrath to come. Do you give any thought to the wrath to come? Do we truly believe that God is a God of wrath? Does God get angry? Does God get mad at humanity? The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that because of sin, because of immorality, because of wickedness, because of the rejection of God, God had given them up to a reprobate mind, to a wicked heart, to go their own way and do whatever pleased them. God gave them up. In the Old Testament, we see the wrath of God demonstrated against sin. Jesus Christ came into the world and spoke of being separated from God in an eternal hell. This is God's wrath. This is God's anger towards sin. God does not approve sin. God hates sin. God removes himself from sin. God punishes sin and will punish sin for all eternity. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead so that he might deliver us from the wrath to come. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are removed from God's anger, from God's fearful wrath. Acts 13:23. Of this man's seed, speaking of David, hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Jesus is the Savior who has been raised. This was according to the promise of God. God, through the voice of the prophets, promised a Savior. He promised that from the seed of David, a Savior would be born. This Savior came into the world. He was announced at his birth to be the Savior. But he was crucified, he was killed, and he was buried. But God has raised up a Savior, Jesus. Jesus is the Savior because of his resurrection from the grave. 2 Timothy 2:8-10. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The salvation of Jesus Christ has the promise of eternal glory. Eternal life. Think about eternal life and eternal glory. The eternal glory will come in a place that the Bible calls heaven. We will in that land dwell with God. That land will be as God would desire, a land of purity and holiness, free from sin and free from all iniquity. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to the gospel, the good news of the Apostle Paul. As Paul traveled from place to place preaching the gospel of the resurrection, he suffered trouble, even as an evildoer, even under bonds. He was placed in prison on different occasions, ultimately being put to death from a prison cell, because of his preaching the gospel that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead, that God had raised up a Savior, so that we might obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. The resurrection is the testimony of our salvation. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the testimony of our hope. In all of life, hope is essential. We want to believe that tomorrow will be better. We hope that the burden will be lifted. We hope that the grief will pass. We hope that time will heal. We are people that abide in hope, and we live life because of hope. We find enjoyment and are able to be at peace because of hope. The Christian is a person who lives in hope. We live in an expectation of something that is better, something that is brighter, something that is purer. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope of redemption. Jesus is our hope of comfort. Jesus is our hope of peace. Jesus is our hope of eternal life. We hope because of Christ. We have the promise, the expectation, the anticipation, the confidence and assurance of a better and brighter, more comfortable life because of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1 verse 10, speaking of Jesus, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Death is one of humanity's greatest fears. We all dread dying. We make preparation for death many times in the purchase of life insurance, the purchase of a burial plot, and make all of the arrangements for our death. But do we make arrangement for our eternal existence? We will live eternally, either in heaven or in hell. Jesus Christ has come and abolished death. Think of that. Death is no more. Oh, we will die, but death has been abolished because the dead will be raised. Jesus Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We do whatever we can to extend our life upon the earth. We take medicines. We have surgeries. We do all that is humanly possible to preserve our life so that we might have a few more years, a few more days, a few more hours upon the earth. Jesus Christ has brought immortality, life without end, through His resurrection from the dead. We have the promise of eternal, immortal life with God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. God will quicken our mortal bodies. He will make alive our mortal bodies. When we die, they will take our mortal body and they will place it in a tomb and bury it. That seems hopeless, but the promise of God is that that mortal body will be quickened, that God will breathe life into that mortal body. The mortal body shall come forth from the tomb. We shall come as a spiritual body. We shall come forth as a glorious body. We shall come forth as an incorruptible body, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That mortal body will be quickened by the very same power that quickened the mortal body of Jesus Christ and brought Him forth from the tomb. 1 Peter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christ has begotten us to a living hope. We think about the resurrection of Jesus, and that thought brings comfort to us. That thought presents assurance to us. We have a confidence in the truth that we will be raised from the dead, that we will come forth to live. This is according to the abundant mercy of God. God has begotten us unto this living hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the testimony of the judgment. Acts 17:31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. God tells us that we will be judged. We will be brought into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will give an account of our life. We will hear, read from the record book of God, the deeds of our life, the thoughts of our heart, the words of our tongue, and based upon our conduct of life, we will be judged. God has appointed a day when he will judge the world by Jesus Christ, and he has given assurance unto every individual that there will be a judgment by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection establishes the promise that God will judge the world. Romans 14:10-12. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. In that day we will give an account of our life. We will tell the motive by which we lived. We will tell why we said what we said, thought what we thought, went where we went, did what we did. We will give an account of the activity of our life that we have lived upon the earth in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his judgment seat. What an awesome day that will be. What if at this moment in time we were to give an account before God? God will call us into judgment. We can be assured of that judgment. That is a guarantee from God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Bible says that in that time every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. For many it will be too late. Many will die without bowing the knee to Christ and confessing the name of Christ with the tongue. But in the judgment, that knee will bow and that tongue will confess, as every individual who has lived, now lives, and will live until the coming of Christ to give judgment, to give an account at the judgment of God. Matthew 25:32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. In the judgment of God there will be a separation. I cannot begin to imagine the great throng of individuals that will assemble at the judgment seat of Christ. Think of all the people that have lived upon the earth in days gone by, and perhaps will live in future generations to come, and all of that number, all nations, assembled at the judgment seat of Christ. The great throne of Jesus will be set in the heavens. The dead will come forth from the grave, and all of humanity will stand in judgment of the deeds and the activity of their life. And he shall separate them one from another. He shall separate the good from the bad, the righteous from the unrighteous, the godly from the ungodly, the pure from the impure, the moral from the immoral. He shall separate them in the great judgment to come. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a testimony of the judgment that is to come. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the testimony of our hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the testimony of our salvation. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the testimony of God's love for us. Jesus Christ has been raised, and at one moment in time, known only to the mind of God, the graves will be emptied at the coming of Jesus Christ, and all of humanity will be raised even as Jesus was raised. What a day, what an awesome day that will be. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.